Time for conversation number two. Ted Foley from Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products, Foley's Crane Rental Service, Foley's anything else?
Nope.
That hit them all?
That's it.
Good deal. Nice to be here with you, Ted.
Likewise.
All right, let's talk a little bit about tree service, trees in my yard. I'm gonna start off right there because we're going to get to firewood, I promise. But one of the main concerns I have out in my yard right now, my prize tree on my property is a sunburst honey locust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful tree. It's the ends of it are kind of golden and they shine in the sun. The rest of the leaves are all green.
Yeah.
We haven't had any rain in Stetsonville. We got the first 20-minute sustained rainfall of the whole summer last week. And that was it. I don't think we have 2 inches of rain all summer.
Wow.
And I'm worried. We can water our... I can't water the lawn. Water's too expensive in Stetsonville. We got a big, massive flower bed. We got a big, massive flower garden. We water those.
Okay.
And those are doing well. Mm-hmm. I'm not liking the way the trees are looking. The pine trees with the new growth on the firs, they just seem like they're all floppy. They're not standing up the way mm-hmm. a tree branch should. They're just staying kind of floppy. My sunburst honey locust out front, the ends of the trees, the leaves come in like bunches.
Yep.
And the ends of those bunches of leaves are just all shriveled up. The golden is gone. And I'm worried that this thing is in some distress due to lack of rain. What do I do? Because if I'm seeing this in my yard, it's happening somewhere else.
Yeah, so what do you do? I mean,
it's been a drought year all over the area.
Number one, we keep just hoping and
yeah,
wanting to see some rain clouds pass through. And dump a significant amount, just a soaker, which actually looks like Friday might be it. Of course, it's our company picnic Friday, and it's our, you know, our one time that we get the whole entire company and families together, and then now they're calling for a bunch of rain and, you know, an outdoor picnic. But anyhow, besides that, hope for rain. If we don't get rain, if you have the ability to water your trees, I cleared some trees at our new property, and we have one really nice big oak, and it's declining just from some root stress, and we're doing what we can do to keep it alive. But last night, I've just put the sprinkler on that one big tree for a good hour and a half, just trying to drench that root system. So, but if you don't have that as a possibility, still, I mean, your next best bet is to try to mulch the trees. I mean, it still really is the best thing that you can do. It's going to help keep the root system cool. It's going to retain whatever moisture there may be. Besides that, there really isn't much.
It's a hard thing to watch. You work so hard out there, and you'd give them all your best upbringing that you can, and then you get failed by Mother Nature. It's part of the deal. My trees are mulched.
Good.
So the thing I'm curious about, what is the proper way to water that tree? Do I just soak the mulched area? Do I got to get it out along the lawn because I know those roots are growing all? Right. What's the proper way to water a tree, especially a big tree? I mean, little trees, it's pretty easy to figure out. The root system ain't all that big yet. But what about a big tree? How do you water a big tree properly?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, like an actual sprinkler system, of course, is, you know, a good thing to use. Besides that, I mean, you want to get up to at least the drip line of the tree or beyond. Now, smaller trees, a lot of times that drip line is kind of right where that mulch is.
In other words, just under the canopy.
Yeah, okay. At a minimum, and then out from there.
Okay.
You know, if you were to lay that tree down, let's say it's a 15-foot tall tree. If you were to lay that tree down, those root systems should be at least 15 feet away from the base of the tree. So you look at that and say, all right, you know, it seems kind of crazy, but you're watering the lawn out beyond what it seems like you should, but really those probably where those absorption roots are. So, you know, again, I'd say it's a 20-foot tree. You want to at least water it 20 feet away from the stem of the tree.
Okay.
So like a 40-foot diameter area.
So do you start by spraying the trunk and work your way out, or just start on the outside perimeter? What's the best way? What do you recommend there? Just soak the mulch down good?
And soak the mulch down good, of course, yes. But yeah, besides that, just whatever gets that good coverage. Whatever you can do to get good coverage, at least underneath the drip line of the tree, is a good thing. The good thing about the honey locust is you should not have what's called opportunistic pests attacking the tree. If you had, you know, birch trees, oak trees, there's more opportunistic pests that then go and attack those trees. So hopefully you don't get any opportunistic pests, borers. The other day I was seeing some scale on some oak that were stressed because of drought. So as long as you don't have that, just keep an eye on the trees and make sure they don't start developing an infestation. Because if they do develop an infestation, that's truly what will likely actually kill the tree.
Because it's stressed already.
Yeah, because it's stressed already, and those little bugs and different things can sense that, basically, and then they go in and feed on it because it's stressed.
Some people deal with stress better than other people, and, you know, everybody's an individual. But when it comes to trees, are there certain species that lend themselves to getting through stressful times like we're having right now? Because, Ted, it's seeming like this is going to be the new normal. More hotter summers are in front of us, and our trees and stuff aren't used to it, and some of them are going to suffer. So, are there some trees that are going to handle this kind of thing better than others? And especially people that are planting new, you don't want to plant any headaches. So we want to educate these folks. Are there some trees that handle drought better if this is going to be our new normal?
Yeah, and there definitely are drought-tolerant trees. And there are several of them. Again, you want to go stay away from those trees that have the opportunistic pests that will attack them when they're stressed. You know, one of the best ones, unfortunately, and that's why they're all planted, is the ash tree. You know, that was a great drought-resistant tree, but of course you can't really.
You got those green bugs.
There's no point planting those anymore. But some of the elms are quite drought-resistant. The new elms that are Dutch elm disease-resistant, they do well. I mean,
your pine trees, deciduous or over, I mean, is there like a rule of thumb, or is it an individual species kind of? No, you're shaking your head. No,
it's not really a great rule of thumb.
Okay.
I mean, no matter what, anything needs water to live.
Right.
Pretty much everything. So
the cactuses are struggling in Arizona right now.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. They're falling over. They're so dry and hot. The cactus, the big saguaro, those, you know, iconic, thing, they're falling over dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I had not heard that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a serious thing at times, and you're just going to have that. That's why, you know, preventative measures, if there's those certain trees, if there are the certain trees on your property that are important to you, make sure they're mulched. Mm-hmm. You can get a hold of us. There's a great product that basically helps the trees go through drought conditions, and you can actually do an injection into the tree, and it basically just helps that tree deal with stress loads because of drought. So there are definitely products that you can inject into trees to help them along. If you don't go that route, then definitely just try to water them when possible and try to get a good mulch ring around them. You know, you don't want to go real thick, still only about 4 inches deep of mulch. But the further out, the better. So, you know, whatever you can do is going to help the tree.
And you got to dig that down. You don't want 4 inches of mulch coming up 4 inches up the trunk, right?
Not on the trunk. You don't want it on the trunk, but you can have it, you know, if your surrounding grade ground is whatever, you can be 3 to 4 inches above that is okay.
Got it. So get out there with the hose one way or the other. Maybe set up a soaker hose around the perimeter of the canopy on the ground, and that'll be a good way to start anyway. And,
yeah, that's a good way too.
Fingers crossed that we get more rain.
Yeah.
One thing that drought year is good for is drying firewood. But you have firewood that's dry already. Doesn't matter if it's a drought or not out there. Your firewood is super dry, ready to burn right now as soon as you buy it. It's I'll bet it's time where people are going to start thinking, okay, I got to start stocking up for wood for the wintertime.
Yeah, it is. We started developing more of an influx in calls about 3 weeks ago, I'd say, for people getting ready for fall. And right now is the time to start thinking about it. You know, if you're out there and are thinking that you want to get some firewood for the winter or for the fall, it's never too early to order. Our wood is dry, so we actually go through the whole process and kiln dry our firewood. We have two big kilns that it takes in the summer months about 35 hours of heat at a minimum of 160 degrees to bake the moisture out of the wood. Besides baking the moisture out of the wood, it also kills any pathogens, it kills any bugs, any diseases that may be in that wood. So when that wood comes out of the kilns, it's dry, it's clean, there's no bugs around. We actually run it through a tumbler where it basically tumbles the wood and barks and knocks as much loose bark off of it as possible. So it's a good clean wood. And we actually have a pretty good storage system now this year. We built a large building to store wood. So we're trying to be able to keep up more on orders. So if you were to order, ideally I'm not telling you you're going to be 4 to 6 weeks before you see your firewood. We should be able to get firewood out to people much more timely now.
Are there quantities that you're limited to? If somebody wants to get the whole year's worth at a time, that's no deal? No big deal?
Yeah, no big deal at all. I mean, I think some of our... like one of our local campgrounds in the Eagle River area, I think they get like 12 face cord per load, and that's every week we run firewood to them. So I think it's 12 face cord is about a minimum per load or a maximum per load. But of course, you can just do more loads.
Okay, and even if you just want it for your own fireplace indoors here this winter time, you can get on the list right now. And generally speaking, through the winter season, the firewood's ready available. It's not like you got to get it now or it's going to run out or anything.
Correct. Yeah, because you know the great thing about having a kiln dried process is you know it's not that we have a limited supply of wood like most other firewood companies, let's call them. We didn't split 100 face cord and it's just been sitting on the ground for, you know, a year because, I mean, ideally to get dry firewood, it needs to sit for at least a year. With oak, it's mainly 2 years because it's just more porous.
Mm-hmm.
And then ideally it's usually there's a roof over the top of it, so it's not getting rained down. Now, granted, this year with how dry it is, much better for just air dried wood. But you need to have it drying for so much amount of time in order for it to truly be dry. With kiln dried firewood, we split it, we process it, and within 35 hours it's coming out of the kiln and it's dry and ready to burn. So, you know, we are constantly every day putting a new load in the kiln and getting new wood dried. So, you know, it depends on what our volume is and what our volume of orders are at that point in time. But in general, we can get firewood out to people pretty quickly.
What was that recipe again? 165 for how many hours?
Yeah, it needs to be at a minimum of, to be certified to be able to move it anywhere to kill your bugs and disease and pathogens, you need to be at a minimum of 160 hours for 6 hours.
Oh, 160 degrees or for 6 hours.
160 degrees for 6 hours, correct.
Got it.
We go to 35 hours just because that's what you need to get that wood down to that 10 to 15% moisture content.
Kind of like I do with my smoker with a smoke, but I leave it on there a little extra longer just to be sure.
Yeah. And I mean, it's always better to have dry firewood than stuff that's going to be, you know, hissing at you or smoking a little bit more.
So all the math and the numbers I just got done with Wendell Quisenberry, it makes my head spin. Numbers generally do that to me. So what's the science behind this kiln-dried firewood as far as burning it goes? And what do the people that buy this type of firewood reap when they start burning it? And what are those numbers that come out? The BTU numbers go up, right?
Yeah, right. So it's all about, of course, burning wood is about BTUs. I mean, everybody's probably heard of BTUs. So what it's all about is if you don't have very dry firewood, BTUs, it uses BTU energy basically to then dry. So BTN is that burning energy, is to dry that wood to be able to be burned.
Okay.
So it's using that BTU energy to be able to dry that next interior piece of that wood to burn it.
And that's not letting the BTUs out to heat the home.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So if you have dry wood, those BTUs don't need to work to dry the wood. You just have dry wood, so you get direct heat from the BTUs.
Yes, and it's very evident when you're burning it outside around a campfire. You don't get all the popping and all the splattering of all those ashes and stuff all over the place. You just get a nice long burn.
Yeah, a good long burn, and it condenses the wood. It condenses the cells, so it still burns, you know, a long time. You need to be careful because if you're used to putting 6 pieces of wood in your firebox and then closing it and coming back 2 hours later, it's probably too much wood. There's so much heat that gets produced because of the BTUs that you need to be somewhat careful to make sure that you don't maybe overheat your firebox. So you burn less wood because you don't have to keep it as full.
And not as many trips out to the firebox, and it's 20 below zero outside.
Right. Yeah.
Boy,
and it's nice and light. I mean, it's much lighter than, you know, just other wood. And it all depends. You know, it's just we sell a lot of kiln-dried wood because folks don't know what you're going to get if you were just to buy firewood, like air-dried firewood. You don't know what is the moisture content. Is it truly dry? Is it not? It's pretty amazing. You know, you go past our shop, and especially when the temperature is cool, and it almost looks like there's a fire, and people sometimes think there's a fire. But it's not. It's just water vapor coming out of those kilns.
Okay.
And it's quite amazing how much water vapor comes out.
It's one of those things, we can talk about it all we want here on the radio, and we're preaching the gospel here, by the way, but until you try it yourself, until you're around the campfire with a bundle of Foley's firewood, you just don't know how good the stuff is until you try it.
Yeah, you really don't. And, you know, I guess that's the reason why if a lot of people buy it once, then they're making another order next year because they did enjoy burning it. And it was worth it to them.
And so get on that list right away so you got all the wood that you need. And you'd rather be stacking it out there right now while it's still a little bit warm outside. You don't want to do that when the snow's flying so much.
Right.
Although that would keep down the sweat.
It would.
Yeah,
it would.
So either way, do what you want. But get your firewood from Foley's Tree Service. That's the number one thing. Okay, so we talked about drought. We talked about firewood. We still have a few minutes left here, Ted. So what else do we want to talk about here this morning as far as how are your jobs? Are you staying on time this year? There haven't been any storms really for cleanup or anything like that. Stuff that usually sets you behind schedule. We just really haven't had much of that.
Right. You know, we've been just kind of clipping along at a good pace because we have not had a lot of setbacks. We're fortunate. You know, we, Foley's Tree Service, now have anywhere from 7 to 10 different crews running every day. So even when a storm does hit, like we had hit now, a week and a half ago, even when a storm does hit, we just don't get backed up like we used to because we're able to just to stay on top of it. And Boulder Junction got nailed, 2 Thursdays ago. They got hammered. Presque Isle got really hit. Conover got hit. And then we had scattered damage kind of all over the place, but not like up there. And we just set 2 to 3 crews up there for about a week, and we were able to crank through it pretty well. And get it cleaned up. We still have some lingering jobs left that we need to get on, not priority stuff anymore. Everything's off of structures. All driveways are cleared out and that type of thing. Now we'll go back and double back to things. It always creates secondary storm damage is what I call it. And that is now the people that had the damage or saw the neighbors that had the damage are now looking at these other trees on their property thinking, Foley's, I want a certified arborist out here to tell me if some of these other trees need to come down because I'm kind of scared now after seeing what that last storm did.
So if people, again, if you have special trees that you want to make sure are okay, you get a storm that goes through the area, your neighbor's trees all look not good, but yours are looking okay, chances are there might be something they can't see.
Very much so. You know, I hear it almost every day, and that is like, how do you just see that in a tree that there's a flaw? I mean, well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I have myself and two other certified arborists that are in sales. That's what we're trained to do. It's like any profession. You're trained in your profession.
Right.
We're trained to assess trees. And so it's funny, you know, I'm a tree person. Anywhere I go, I'm looking at trees. Yeah. And not even trying to find a flaw, but the flaws just like stick out and your eyes catch those flaws.
It's the same thing with me when I go out of the area and listen to radio. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
We're different. We listen. Yeah. I listen to radio differently. You look at trees differently because we're in the business,
right? And you know, anybody out there, whatever your profession is, you probably can relate.
Yeah.
It's just what you do. So yeah, for us, it's I step out of a car at a client property, and like even before I know what I'm looking at, I'm already like my eyes are just finding things, not trying to, just finding things. And almost most people don't know what flaws are in trees, what types of issues there are, or the severity of that flaw. Which is where a certified arborist coming on the property and saying, okay, yes, this is a major problem, or it's a minor problem, or yeah, it is a major problem, or could be a major problem, but here's what we can do to try to mitigate the risk of that tree failing.
Mm-hmm.
Just having somebody from Foley, the certified arborist, on the property, seeing what is going on with your trees is very helpful for when these next storms could potentially blow through.
All the time we've spent together in the studio here, Ted, I think some of you is rubbing off onto me because in our backyard, our backyard faces to the west and to the south, and it's kind of open, except for our neighbors. They've got these gigantic maple trees that give us some shade back there. Without those maple trees in my neighbor's yard, a lot of sunny afternoons, you wouldn't be able to stand it out there. So that means I'd have to either build a pergola, have somebody build a pergola for me, or get one of those expensive awning units. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, same thing. I'm worried about my neighbor's tree's health. And when I saw some of the canopy leaves starting to come down, I thought, oh, my gosh, they got some bugs. I started getting worried about my neighbor's trees.
Right, right. Yeah, so, and you just see those things.
Yeah.
And, talking about that, you know, in trees, you know, we also plant trees in the Legacy Tree Program that we have, and some great trees out there. And what it's all about is planting trees to be on the property. And with the stewardship program with these trees, it comes with they've come with a 5-year guarantee, and they also come within those 5 years, we will prune that tree 3 different times to be sure that tree is growing properly. Those are the types of things that if we can correct from the beginning, you may not have those flaws or those issues in the future where that tree may fail. because you want to correct issues from the start by proper pruning practices.
Mm-hmm. Legacy trees, something else to look forward to. Are there legacy tree information on your website?
Yes.
Okay, so people can get more into that. What's the website?
FoliesTreeService.com.
That's pretty easy. As far as the firewood, ordering all that stuff, same place?
Yeah. WisconsinFirewoodSales.com is the Foley's forest product side of things. Otherwise, call in, and usually Andy a lot of times works with the firewood customers and figuring out what your needs are and when you might be able to get a delivery, and if you select certain species or just a hardwood mix.
And FoliesTreeService.com probably has links to all the other outfits.
It does.
Got it. Ted, thanks for being here this morning. As always, thanks for the information. Of all the people that I talk to here in the studio, our Ted Foley conversation is the one that I get the most feedback. You and Dave Nelson are the most popular people that I talk to here as far as the listeners are concerned, and so thank you for that. I need all the help in here I can get.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. No, it's a great thing. I should ask Greg one of these years, or one of these days, how many years I've been doing this program for. It's been a long... Well, when did Mark Schueller retire? Do you recall?
I've been here, I believe Zach and I are here 13 or 14 years, so it's been that long.
So it's been that long. It's been a long time, and every month in the summer, so...
And it's one of my favorite chats all the time, Ted. Thanks for being here this morning, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Ted Foley from Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products, and up north, Peterson Tree Service for folks in the northern part of the listening area. This guy knows what he's talking about. He knows trees, flat out.